Be honest. How often do you think about your business having to be shut down? I'm not trying to be morbid or a Debbie Downer. I'm pretty sure that most of us, if not all of us as business owners, have had that thought come into our minds at least once, probably way more frequently. I know some of you think about it more frequently than you would like to. So in today's episode, I want to talk about ways that you can de-risk your business so that you can transition from sitting here and thinking about all the ways your business might fail to actually taking some real action and identifying areas of your business that you might have more risk and then working to de-risk them, to make it less volatile, to make your cash flow more consistent, to make it so that you know, you're less likely to have one big event happen and then your whole business goes under. This is the Profit and Prosper podcast, the podcast that empowers female entrepreneurs to make more money, become financially independent, and live prosperously. I'm your host, Sarah Young, an entrepreneur and business and wealth coach who has worked with hundreds of entrepreneurs to create more profitable, sustainable businesses. This episode really was inspired by conversations that I've been having lately with some of our larger, more established clients, so the clients in the multi-six and seven-figure space. These are the conversations that I am having with those clients is about risk. This is just something that seems to be coming up more lately, and I'm not sure why. I think that some of these clients have seen changes in some of the ways that they generate leads in their business, and they've seen some surprising fluctuations in their sales just based on their specific industries. And so we're having this conversation about risk. So when you think about risk, what do you think about? I bet in your business, you're thinking about something like taking on risk means you're spending a lot of money on something and you don't know if it's going to pan out. Maybe you're thinking about just not having a lot of money in the bank, or you're thinking about like having a lot of debt that you have to make the payments on and how difficult that feels. I think those are some of the traditional ways that we think about risk. I know when I went to college, I have a business degree. I had a focus in finance and economics, and risk is something that we talked about a lot with, you know, investments and stock and things like that. Just the likelihood of a stock basically not being worth any money after you buy it. So we think about risk in your business. Really, risk is just the probability of something bad happening, right? The probability of having a loss in your business. So what I'm going to give you in this episode is three areas that you might be surprised by. Maybe you've not thought of these, but these are areas that I see pretty commonly causing some of my clients' issues, bringing in more risk to their business, you know, impacting their sales, impacting their expenses and overall cash flow. Now, I bet you're going to think that one of those three things you can do to reduce the risk in your business is going to be about having cash in the bank. You know, I always bring up having your cash cushions. And I do think that's really important, but that's not one of the three. And so this will be just like a bonus tip. If you're new to the podcast, something I do bring up all the time is having a cash cushion. And so I typically would say, depending on the business, 2 to 3 months of business expenses set aside in a savings account. And then also personally, I think it's really important to have your own personal cash cushion of minimum 3 to 6 months, preferably more like 6 to 12 months, right? The more cash you have in the bank, the easier it's going to be for you if you do experience one of these events that I'm going to talk about in this episode. So if one of those things happens, that you can recover, you can last, you have the time to pivot. One thing that comes to mind as we think about external events, and this is not one of the three things either, but a lot of us were starting or growing our businesses around COVID. And I just remember seeing so many businesses going out of business, having to shut down temporarily, just not making it through the pandemic. And in part, that was because they did not have the reserves on hand and they did not have the time to pivot, right? Because things got shut down really, really quickly. Sales dried up, and sometimes people didn't even last a few weeks. So we don't want that to be you. Here are three other areas that your business may be carrying extra risk that you don't need that we want to work on mitigating so that your business can really last. So area number one is with your clients. If you have one client or maybe a group of clients that takes up a pretty significant portion of your revenue, then that can be an area of risk. Because what happens if that client one day just says, you know what, I'm going to cancel our contract, we're done, we're not paying you anymore. Like if you're using that client's, what they're paying you to pay your team in turn, to pay your business expenses, and your client leaves, what are you going to do? I have seen this happen to multiple clients over my years in business. And, you know, unfortunately, it happens more than you'd like to think it will, that you think we have, you think you have a contract in place and you think they're not going to back out, but like sometimes they do. Sometimes they just don't pay you. And so we want to look at your client base and say, hey, am I overly relying on one specific client? This especially can happen when you are in a like very high ticket space and you only have a few clients, you know, then you may be overly relying on one of those clients to pay the bills. Actually, as an example, I had have a client who works with corporate clients, and her contracts with corporate clients can be high five figures into the six figures, multi six figures for one contract. And she will only do like a couple of those contracts every year. But something that we talked about all the time was just worrying about, you know, she was worried about, would her cash flow last? What if this contract doesn't renew? What if it doesn't come through, et cetera, et cetera. And something that she would go back to is, you know what, as a plan B, if it doesn't, then she did speaking. And so she would charge, you know, several thousand dollars for each workshop or speaking gig that she did, because she'd been doing it for a while and was really good at it. And so she had another revenue stream where she knew she could go drum up business and keep paying the bills in the meantime if one of those clients, you know, decided to stop paying or not renew or just not sign in the first place. You know, I've had other clients where they have, there may be in the B2B space, for example, and they'll have a pretty sizable roster of clients, but they'll still have one or two that are paying them $15,000, $20,000, $30,000 a month. And for a business that is making even into the seven figures, you know, even if you're making 100K cash months, having a client stop paying you 20K is a big deal, right? Even though, yes, you still have $80,000 of other revenue coming in, having, you know, $20,000 just all of a sudden lost is a big deal, especially if your sales cycle is long. You know, like with a lot of these super high ticket contracts that some clients get, you know, the sales cycle from the time you start the process of trying to land a new client to actually closing the contract and getting the money in the door can be months, right? And so if this is you, you know, you can look at your client base and ask yourself if you have one or a handful of clients who maybe they're all in the same industry, maybe they're all somehow related to each other. If that one client went away all of a sudden, would you be screwed? And if the answer is yes, then what you're going to want to do is look for ways to mitigate that. Have a plan B in place. Make sure your contracts are solid, although you can have a solid contract and sometimes people still won't pay you on time. But have a plan B in place and figure out what would I do? You know, what are some other revenue streams that maybe you could get in place to mitigate that? Like the example I gave of the client who would do speaking, right? But you might not be thinking about this as a potential area of risk, but it absolutely can be. Area number two that may be adding risk to your business, actually have seen this one probably most frequently out of all three that we're going to go through, is where you generate your leads. This one has come up recently with a couple of clients. I've seen it happen many times throughout the years where a client has one major source of leads for their business and they rely on that lead source to bring basically all of their sales in the door. And I've seen where that gets shut down, right? Their lead source gets shut down. Some examples could be clients who, you know, bring in most of their revenue from Google My Business type leads. Let's say your Google My Business gets shut down. I've seen people who had their account suspended for one reason or another, and then for a whole month or two, like all of their leads, they just don't get any because they don't have that up there and they didn't have another way to bring clients in. I've seen clients who get leads off of Amazon, who make a lot of sales on Amazon, and then Amazon flags their account for some reason and they can't get it unflagged, and then they make no more sales. Even, you know, people with Instagram, this was actually a few months ago, I remember seeing several Instagram influencer types shutting their businesses down and kind of being loud about it. And I think that, you know, one of the things that I saw as a common thread was that they grew their Instagram account back in the heyday, you know, 2018-ish, 2019, even during COVID, like they were able to grow their account and grow their audiences. And then when the Instagram algorithm changed, you know, they didn't know how to make sales anymore, right? They didn't learn to change with the times and they were overly reliant on their one way of doing things to bring leads in. The client conversations I've been having recently was with a few different clients actually who rely heavily on Google search traffic and affiliate links to bring traffic to their website and to their products. And I'm told that the Google algorithm was changed like last fall, winter. And ever since they changed the way that they do their algorithm, then, you know, their search rankings and therefore their sales have decreased significantly. So hopefully you get the point that having just one lead source for your business is definitely, you know, increasing the chance that if that lead source dries up, your sales are going to dry up. And then what are you going to do? So look at where your leads come from and ask yourself, you know, is there a way I could diversify? Am I putting too many of my eggs in one basket? And can you find a way to bring leads in from another source just so you don't have to be overly reliant on one thing, on one algorithm, on one set of ads, on Google search or whatever it is that you ultimately don't have control over those platforms, right? And ask yourself, how can I come up with other ways to bring leads in the door? Having more ways than one, more paths to get into your business is always ideal. I think having the ability to pivot if or when these changes happen is really important, like we said. So, you know, if something changes to the algorithm and your traffic drops and you are reliant on that to bring your leads in, then you need to have time to go out and get scrappy again. Right? We need to be able to have the time and space to pivot and find new ways to run our businesses. Actually, not to go back to COVID again, but this was something that we saw happen with COVID, where a lot of businesses who really only worked with people in person, you know, think restaurants, gyms, things like that, like a lot of those shut down because their foot traffic just completely shut down one day. The ones who seemed to do the best were the ones who figured out how to pivot. And how to either go online, how to, you know, start doing takeout orders or whatever it is, like they had to pivot in order to keep going. And so think ahead, make sure you're diversified, but also make sure you're giving yourself the space if needed to have a plan B in place and to pivot. I feel like I keep saying the word pivot and I'm getting an image of like the Ross, the Friends episode with Ross on the couch, like screaming pivot. Anyways, okay, that was number two, lead sources. Number three is team members. And so this one is especially applicable to those of you who have teams, who have larger businesses where you rely heavily on your team. I'm going to tell you, I have heard these words from so many business owners' mouths who have large teams. And these are multi-seven, even eight-figure business owners who have said to me, if this one person leaves my business, we're screwed. And in that case, anytime I've ever heard that, I've said, okay, well, we need to figure out how to not make you screwed if this one person leaves, because honestly, anybody could be hit by a bus tomorrow and never come back to work. And then what would you do? You have no control over that, right? The same could be said, honestly, not just for a team member, but also for you as a business owner. If you didn't show up to your desk tomorrow, would your business keep running? If your kid's sick, if you have to take time off to take care of a family member, if you get sick, right? What's going to happen? And so this is where it's really important, I think, to have standardized systems and processes, having, you know, team members getting trained in different aspects of the business so that if one person quits or, you know, if they get sick or whatever, like somebody else can step in and it's not the end of the world. I've heard this especially with clients who have a team member who will go out and be the salesperson, kind of be the client care person. Like that team member will be the one who goes and builds the client relationships. And so they say, hey, you know what? If this person leaves who has these relationships, like that's really going to hurt us. And so my response is, okay, well, then you need to figure out who else in your business can also go out and build relationships with the same people. You know, not having one point of failure in your business, whether that's a team member or whether that is you. So there we have it. I gave you three areas of your business that might be adding more risk that you just want to sit down and assess and ask yourself if any of these things are present in your business. And if so, take steps to mitigate that risk just to reduce the probability that if something happens that is out of your control or in your control, but if something happens that causes your business to, you know, have a decrease in sales or just to not be able to run the way that you're used to it running, that you have a plan B, you know what you're going to do, and you mitigate it ahead of time. So hopefully you can spend less time sitting here worrying about, OMG, what if my business fails? What if I have to shut it all down? Right? None of us want to be thinking about that. So that's it for this episode, y'all. I hope you enjoyed it. And as a reminder, please make sure to subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen. Go leave me a review. It helps me get the podcast in front of more people. And if you really want to do me a solid to show me that you appreciate listening to the podcast, make sure you share it with one or 10 of your business besties. All right. That's it for this week, and I'll see you back next time. Thanks for listening to this week's episode. Listening and learning is great, but implementing what you learned is even better. So what's one thing you can do this week to make more money in your business, save for your financial future, and start living your most prosperous life? If you found this episode helpful, please leave a review on Apple Podcasts and share with a friend because it helps me reach more amazing female entrepreneurs like yourself. See you in next week's episode.